This is United Tribes News Radio. Insights into Native culture, people, ideas, topics to improve understanding from United Tribes Technical College in Bismarck. North Dakota is becoming more culturally and ethnically pluralistic. The state's recent population growth presents both challenges and opportunities in opening up to the perspective of others. In its role as a community resource, United Tribes Technical College engaged people with experience to help examine how worldview awareness can serve individuals, organizations, and the community. A good starting place is to look no further than those who have always been here, those who represent this region's foundation of cultural pluralism. In this program, a talk by a Sikandju Lakota elder that reveals elements of a cultural worldview. Lemoyne LaPointe has over 35 years of engagement-centered experience and facilitation in multicultural settings. From isolated tribal communities to inner-city neighborhoods, his work involves engaging participants in broadening their personal perspective. He began his talk to a Bismarck Mandan audience by exploring the common ground we have in those close to us.
When my grandfather was alive, I was a child. He passed away when I was about six. He was my best friend. We used to play. He had a wrinkled face, had a big nose, wrinkles all over. And he was like a child. I used to take his nose and twist it like rubber. He had big ears. He used to twist those too. And he'd do the same to me. But he would say to me, "Look at Grandpa," he said. "Grandpa's like this," he said. "Grandpa's like this. You too, you're like this," he said. "Right here." I said, "Grandpa's like this right here." I always remember that about my grandfather. He would say, "Look at my face. Look at these eyes and this nose. Look at these big ears." He said, "Because we're like this right here," he said. So growing up, I always remember that. My grandfather was born in the 1800s. So I was lucky as a young man to have had a grandfather like him. He was the last in his generation to remember what hardship was like between 1860 and 1890. But he contributed a lot to me that would take me through a lot of experiences in my life. He was an incredible man. He used to give me tobacco in the morning because he couldn't walk too good anymore. We had this little hill because we didn't have any mountains on the plains. Our mountain was a little hill. But even that little hill was too hard for him to walk on. So he would sit on a chair in the morning before the sunrise and give me his tobacco and tell me to go over there and put it on that hill. He'll talk to me, tell me what to say in my prayer and put it down and come back. So I'd go over there and I put that tobacco down. It's still dark. The sun hasn't come up yet. And I would say a prayer. I always say a prayer for my grandpa. So to this day, when I go out there, in those short moments I had a time to spend with my grandfather, I see this little hill that no one will ever think is significant. All it is a small incline. That's all it is. But it's one of the most sacred spots in the world. And many of us know of such a place. Many of us, in our sentiments, and our memories and our reminiscence about things in our life have a place like that. And wherever I go, I carry this place around. When I first went to a large city, I used to get homesick, even though I went there by my own free will. And when I got homesick, of all places that I would be homesick for was that little incline. That little molehill that sat on millions of acres of land. Imagine that, how somebody could be homesick and think about such a place. There's significant pieces in our minds like that. My father would say, as a cultural and spiritual landscape that we walk on. So I just want to open with that, because my grandfather made Lemoyne Lapointe who he is today, as well as my other grandparents, and I had many. My name, my real name that we say in our culture, is Wichakbi Okinaji. That's my Indian name in the Lakota language. And I was named not by my grandfather, but I was named by a grandfather much older than my grandfather. I was named by a grandfather who was the first to be created. And his name was Ia. Ia is the rock that we place in what we call an inipi. Sometimes today in contemporary language, they call it a sweat lodge. We take these rocks and we place them on top of a wooden pile that we ignite in fire. And we feed that fire until those rocks glow. And we take those rocks and we put them in the center of this sweat lodge, and we pour rocks on them so that the vapor engulfs all of those of us who are sitting on the inside in a circle. It was at such a time like that that Ia, our oldest grandfather, the rock, named me. He literally spoke and named me. Wichakbi Okinaji, the star that came back. So I was not named by a human being. I tell you this story because it makes me who I am. It's what causes the energy that resides within me to reverberate. To be able to get up here and look at all the spirits that are sitting in this room, very much like my grandfather and I would look at each other like this. Because from my grandfather's teachings to me, what I'm looking at here is a room full of spirits. And the way that each of you look at me is not the same. If there's 50 of you sitting there, there's 50 ways of seeing me here. That's how rich our cultural worldviews are. I want to tell you a little bit about the Lakota culture from which I have come. You see, my mother and father gave birth to 10 children and adopted over 40 more through our ceremonies. Why I'm telling you this and what I'm doing here. When you take a look at the information that was distributed to you by Wanda regarding not only personal worldview, but the six dimensions that also include the cultural worldview, what you'll see and what you'll hear now is me touching upon all six of those dimensions, as I have begun to already. Because my cultural worldview contributed to me. And it began as a young boy interacting with people such as my grandfather. The first time that I truly learned heartbreak, truly ever experienced heartbreak, was when my grandfather left to get up when it's dark in the morning, to see an empty chair. That's heartbreak. This is what I mean that resonates here, as it resonates in me today. That's culture. It's alive, it's well in me, even 60 years after I lost my grandfather. This is the type of depth of contribution and gift that practitioners within our own respective cultures, no matter where we come from, contribute to each of us, as my grandfather contributed to me. So to speak to you and to acknowledge my grandfather tonight is deliberate, because sometimes, no matter how long we've been on this earth, to get up in front of a room full of spirits and to expose ourselves as I have to you requires courage. And sometimes we need help. So I spoke to my grandfather tonight and asked him, stand with me. Let me say the right words that would transmit what it is that I want to impart about cultural worldview. There's many stories, but I wanted to begin that about my grandfather. But there's a balance involved in this. It's my grandmother's. One in particular. She was responsible for many stories. And her name was Wahachunkahlawin. Her name was Ringing Shield Woman. She helped raise me after my grandfather passed away. And all her sisters helped raise me. They were born in the 1800s. If there's anything that makes me who I am today, it's my grandmother's. In adult lifehood, when my father said, when I pass into the spirit world, don't warn me, you'll get over me. But he said, the day will come when your mother or your grandfather's pass away. And when that day arrives, that's the day you're going to cry like a little baby again. And those days when I lost my grandmother who raised me and her sisters, I remember it so well. But he used to say to me, don't cry just to cry. Cry to pray. Remember that we have a word in our language called wachekia. The root word is to cry. But its real meaning is to pray. He said, if you're going to humble yourself and you're going to cry about something, convert it into a prayer. Because you're at your most humble state. You're exhibiting one of the most sacred states you possibly can. This is an opportune time to call on the power of the sacred spirit to come and help you and help those who may also feel the same way as you do. And so when I look back at my grandfather, who left an empty chair, when I started getting up in the morning when it was dark, alone as he used to, and take that can of Prince Albert tobacco and take a pinch out of there and close it and go to that hill alone, that's how much impact these teachings had on a little boy. A little boy who is now in his 60s, but when he speaks about his grandfather and grandmothers, he's still a little boy. But over the interim, as I grew into Wichakpi Okinaji, as I grew into being the star that came back, I went through every conceivable challenge in life that you can think of because of the way that I look. Even though I had this in here, just as you do, all the challenges that I faced in life were largely because of the way that I looked. Because I had brown skin, black hair, because I spoke a different language, because my beliefs were different, because I came from a community that looked unlike any other community. But luckily, as I was growing up, I had teachings that were emitted to me from my grandparents. We have one we call Mitaku Oyasi. That means all of my relatives. That's a declaration that reverberates through the culture of our people, particularly our Lakota people, every day. It's an acknowledgement of all of creation, no matter who we are. No matter if we have wings or we crawl on the ground. No matter if we have four legs. It's a declaration of admiration for the act of creation that we see every day. Whether it's snow on the ground, rain falling from the sky, whether it's the moon, the stars, whether it's sunrise or sunset, whether it's the grass that's coming out of the ground or the buds on a tree, all of these acts of creation we acknowledge by saying Mitaku Oyasi. I'm glad that I was taught this. Because in those times of challenge, when I found myself alone because so much of our people had died, in our history, over 50 million of us have died because of the way we look. You combine World War I and World War II together, the losses that happened those world wars, they don't come close to the amount of people that we lost. But yet, we never gave up the declaration Mitaku Oyasi, all my relatives. So when I was treated in such a way that was not admirable, that teaching from my grandparents kept me praying for those who sometimes people would consider an enemy. Even those who came after our people between 1860 and 1890, in that period of time when my grandparents were born, when they were children, they wanted me to be kind to everyone. They wanted me to carry the principle of Mitaku Oyasi in me, no matter how I was treated for the way that I looked. Treat everybody kindly, they said, because the Great Spirit put this light in you. He took this light and he took that heart and he opened it up like a medicine bag. Inside of it, he put this light, and your responsibility is to take care of it. Don't you ever put anything inside of that bag that's unkind, that's cruel, that will cause illness. The only thing you should ever put in that bag, that medicine bag of yours, is goodness, kindness, respect. Because wherever it is that you're going to go, one of the things that the Great Spirit did and said to us was, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to take a look at you and I'm going to see if you carried those values that I have given you in such a way that I've asked you to carry them. One day you're going to stand in front of me and I'm going to ask you, did you carry yourself in such a way that you would honor me? Because as my father would say, whatever it is that you've done in your life, make sure it's good, because all those values that you've exhibited will be ignited and you're going to wear them like clothing once you stand in front of the Great Spirit. And he's going to see it just by looking at you that you've carried yourself the way that he intended you to. These are teachings that my grandmother's taught me. So what I've shared so far was the historical piece, particularly the piece about the loss, the large numbers of loss that were inflicted upon our people. I've shared with you the reality of Mitaku Oyasi, that no matter how we're treated, no matter how much punishment our people go through, we should always regard our enemy as a relative. People say sometimes that historically we were a warlike people, but in reality we weren't. When we would go to battle with our enemies, we would take these sticks with us. Sometimes they would be red willow sticks. And the most highest honor that we could exhibit on the battlefield was to ride up to our enemy on horseback and hit him with that stick and get away alive, not to take his life. And if we were able to do that, that was an honor that we could take in front of the Great Spirit and tell the Great Spirit, I had an opportunity to take a life, but I didn't. I gave life. Those are principles of Mitaku Oyasi. I told you the history piece. The future is very significant to us. We have 7 sacred ceremonies. My family and I, we practice them. Right now, we're just finishing up welcoming the Thunder Being ceremony. We're preparing to go on the hill for what we call Hamblechiapi, the vision quest. During this time, we also go into what we call the Inipi, or the Inikalkapi, which basically means to fill yourself up, to rejuvenate yourself with that goodness. And then we have, we call a Wangwachipi, which is called a sundance ceremony. In these ceremonies, we never look back. In this day and age, we hear people saying, well, get over it. But one thing many people don't know is when Europeans came to this land, what they found was a modern society. They found a society of people that were futuristic, that loved the land so much that we would do everything to preserve all life and not destroy a thing. And these ceremonies that I mentioned here tonight are those types of ceremonies. We look ahead from day to day. We look ahead in new moon ceremonies. We look ahead at our annual sundance. So we're looking ahead daily, monthly, yearly. And we're praying for all life, for Mitaku Oyasi. And so I hope that I'm doing my grandmother's and my grandfather's honor by sharing with you what they shared with me. By being a true and loving grandson, by being a great-grandson to to the Great Spirit, whom we call Tunkashila. Tunkashila is a term of endearment. Some of you who love your grandfather so much, you say Gramps. That's what Tunkashila is for us. It's a term of endearment as equivalent to Gramps as you possibly can get. We have a larger name for him, but we only say that in ceremony, a formal name. Another dimension that you have probably seen on these cards on your table is values. Values such as respect, wisdom, fortitude, generosity. Four values that are really prominent within the Lakota Nation. We're required to uphold those. When the Great Spirit came, he gave us those values and said, I'm going to trust you with these. When I come back, I want to see if you still have these. And so when our people were faced with challenges such as genocide, we continued to practice those ways of life that were entrusted to us because we know that the Great Spirit will come back. And he's going to look at us and say, do you still have those values that I entrusted you with? Do you still have those ceremonies that I placed them in? And we're going to have to say yes. So when those values and those practices were being stripped of many of our people, we still held on to them. We still hold on to them today. So if you take a look at all those dimensions of thought that my brother Jerry shared with you here recently, we're going to ask you to go back to those. Think about it. Think about your name, particularly your name. Sometimes we don't even think about our names, but they're incredibly, incredibly significant. Who named you? Why did they name you that? Sometimes we hear our names over and over and over again so much that we never bother to stop to think about. What were the dreams that were inherent in this name when it was first bestowed upon me as a little morsel of spirit that came into this world for just a few minutes? I'm going to ask you to think about that tonight. I'm going to ask you to take a look at those six dimensions of thought that were distributed and placed in this card on your table. I'm going to ask you to take a look at your own cultural worldview at your respective tables. I'm going to ask you to do that now. I'm going to ask you to share in some conversation. I'm going to come back. I'm going to ask one or more tables just to share what it is that you've spoken about in your own table about what a cultural worldview is to you. How do you exhibit it in such a way that it contributes to the care and the caring, the compassion, and the respect of those around you, even here in your community, your families? Okay. What we'll do is we'll come back in a few minutes and I'll ask each of you at your tables to share what it is that you shared as a highlight. Take a highlight that comes out of your respective conversations and share it.
My name is Julie, and in our discussion, we also talk about language. And so in my language, if I speak to you, I'm like, kumusta kayo lahat? Masaya ako dito. I need to end that with a po. It's hard because if you say every sentence, period, po, you need to say po if you're talking to an elder. So it's hard for me because I'm raising two kids here in America, and they're very respectful. They say yes all the time, but sometimes they say in a tone, yes. Okay. But I always try to make them answer opo. It's so nice to hear that word, yes. I know it means nothing to them, but for me, it's so important. Oh, my name is only Julie. It's funny because Chinese have their Chinese name, and they want me to give them a Filipino name. But it's just Julie. Yes. I hope you could pronounce Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
I identify a lot with her because I'm from Africa and we kind of go through almost similar experiences. I've just been in the U.S. and Bismarck for 1.5 years. Yeah, my name is Jeff, and that's my real name because, again, when I say that, people ask, did you get that name when you came here? And no, I was named Jeff. And I really like what you shared, especially when you talked about ancestors. Grandparents and those who've already gone before us, you're still interacting with them. And that's a very, very interesting because in Africa, again, that's kind of the norm. Especially what really touched me is when you said that you spoke to your grandfather to give you strength as you stand before us today. So that's like it's a daily conversation, and that's something that, especially coming to Bismarck, I have kind of been losing a bit of that, you know, because you don't hear too many people speaking about the spirit world, which is real to us. It really is. I feel that has, it was just very interesting to reignite that part, that history of me also, that, oh yeah, there is a spirit world. It's just amazing how different people look at life very, very differently. You talked about the great spirit. In our table, as we were talking there, we were just reflecting about that, how especially we value your respect for the ancestors, and then the value system where it's not just material. You praying for an enemy, that's amazing. You know, it's not just to finish an enemy, but you pray for them because you believe that, you know, even the enemy is your relative. You had an opportunity to take a life, but you didn't. Those are some of the things that even today, if we embrace them, they are going to make the world a much richer place. So it's just wonderful to see someone and hear someone speak different from what we usually think. And like for me, when I came here, you know, I am now, from the talk, I'm appreciating the people you represent. Because especially when I read the news, when I've been seeing the news, the pipeline project, the riots, I just didn't understand what's all this about, you know. Especially as an outsider, you're thinking, what exactly, you know, what's the history behind this? And whenever the issue has come up within my contacts, you can see the passion when people talk, you know, the people are very passionate about the pipeline, you know. And I know there's a history to that which I don't understand. But now hearing from your side, especially the way you talk about nature, and how the Dakota people, they respect the nature, they treasure, they love. Now I think I'm getting to understand. And it's going to take a while. Yeah, I know it's going to take a while for me to know all this. But because many times when you just hear one side of it, you kind of get blinded. But if you can be exposed to all sides, then you make a valued judgment. Thank you very much. But I would also like to say from Africa, because I come from Africa, Africa also love people. Yeah, we love relationships, and if someone from Africa is talking to you, like even on the table, we're gonna ask, so how are you doing? And how is your family? Okay, so you talk maybe about your father, your mother, your brother, sister, children, and how are your animals? How are the goats? How are the cats? So it might be just from high, the conversation is going to go on and on, depending on how much time you have. Mm-hmm. Like now you can see I can go on and on. You just end up talking a lot. So when I came to Bismarck and someone asked, hi, how are you? And then I start telling a story. Hey, no, I just want to, it's like, hi, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've learned when you ask hi, you just say, but there are those who also, when you do hi, they want to talk a little more, but yeah, just the African bit there, it's like the clock, we put it aside, and yeah. So thank you. God
thank you. I want all of you to consider and listen respectfully to the stories that were shared at your respective tables. See, they're meaningful. Words are worlds. One of my uncles, my grandparents would say, be careful what you say. Choose your words wisely because they can give life or they can take it away. Choose your friends wisely. make sure that your friends represent all those values that our family represents, that our nation represents. My father would say, when the day comes when I enter the spirit world, when you select those six men to carry me to the cemetery, make sure that you select them wisely. Make sure that those men have contributed to their families, have sacrificed for everything that they ever did for their community, that would give their life for another. Make sure that these men are men. Make sure they respect their grandmothers and their wives and their sisters, their daughters, their grandchildren. You make sure. And this man that I call my father once told me a story of when he was a young man. You see, my grandfather was a medicine man, and my father became an Episcopal priest. And so I was raised in ways of life that seemed like they were in conflict with each other, but they were not. Even though it may appear to some that a cultural worldview was occurring within our family, it was not. My grandfather, to acknowledge my father and my uncle, who also became an Episcopal priest, deliberately built a cross about this big. And my grandfather was an old man, and he made a necklace out of that wooden cross. And even as a medicine man, he carried that around. One day in a public event, he was asked to tell the people why he carried that cross around. And he said, because there is only one way. There's only one creator, and he made all of us. So I respect and honor the way that my son and my son-in-law have taken, and they respect me. When my father was a young man, he and the same uncle, these two men became Episcopal priests. They went down to a place as young men when they were about 18 and 19 years of age, and this was before they became priests. They went to a place called Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, to pick potatoes because jobs were non-existent on reservation communities. We planted our own gardens, but in this time, in the 1930s, it was very difficult. On the way back, they stopped by a northern Nebraska town that's right on the border of South Dakota and Nebraska and went into a restaurant to grab something to eat. And when my father tells the story, he laughs because it is funny in its nature, but it has a lesson. Because they went into this store and all these non-natives came in and they were placed at a table and they were served. But my dad and my uncle stood there waiting and waiting. Finally, my father said, "Who is the manager of this cafe? I want to talk with him." So the man at the front said, "Well, he's in the back. If I go get him, he's not going to like it. Do you want me to go get him?" My father said, "Yes, get him. I'd like to speak with him." And so he went back and he brought the manager back. And the manager was immediately, he seen my uncles, my dad, and he was immediately angered. He went, he was gritting his teeth. And he walked over to a window. That cafe had a big window and had a big sign there facing outward. He walked over, picked up that sign. He turned around and showed my uncle, my dad. He said, "Jesus Christ, Chief, don't you know how to f-ing read?" And he turned his sign around and showed my uncle and my dad and said, "No Indians allowed." And my dad, he doesn't want anybody cuss or swear or even use the name Jesus Christ in that way. So he said to this manager, "When the day comes when you go to hell, you take that sign that you value so much and you put it up down there." And all through my life, these are the kinds of stories that I've heard. But, you know, many of us in our lives, there's many things that we share. We have to take the high road, even in challenges in our present community. There's a low road, there's a high road, as my father would say. Take the high road. The low road is filled with problem solving. Take the high road because you want to look for and find solutions. Don't take the low road that has blame and finger pointing. Take the high road that has all these variety of gifts, perspectives, and wisdom, and work with them. Don't evaluate what somebody is saying. Listen. Humble yourself. Don't go on that high road with pride because you need humility to listen. Look for solutions. Everyone has a gift. Listen to them all. And hopefully they'll listen to each other. Because after all, we all have to live together. And this is that concept. Mitakoyasi. We're all related. We all at one time, at the beginning of creation, had an original instruction. We all have in our histories a positive memory of those who named us. Because inherent in those names are dreams and aspiration of what we were to become and have become. What our parents and grandparents seen in us and continue to see in us today is an innate goodness. We could do no wrong in their eyes. Everything that we wanted to do, they wanted us to do it well and be kind. They didn't bring us in this world to hurt each other. They brought us into this world and accorded us a name through love and respect so that we could be kind and gentle to others. So that one day they could see children and grandchildren and know that their family would continue. We've seen them give our children and grandchildren that love. That's what the high road is. Look for the best in each other. If we see in our community a way of life that we do not agree with, it's okay to look for a solution and say, how could I find a community here, unlike the community I currently experience? One that would excite all members of the world to come to. We have to ask ourselves questions like, why should we be excited about our community? Where does Bismarck and Mandan stand in the world? Why should people be excited about coming to our community? How is our community unique from other communities? How can our community be a model community to the world? We have to ask ourselves questions we've never asked ourselves together, not as an exclusive club, but together, as human beings who have grandfathers and grandmothers. We have to move together as Mitakoyasi and understand that there's a positive world out there that the Creator placed in a spiritual context for us to attain. Our journey is not done. One day the Creator will come and say, what did you do in your life that I should be excited about? With that, I'm going to say thank you, Wanda. Thank you for all of you for listening to me, a grandson who has feelings, who cares about life, who loves people. My grandfather made me that way. I can't help it. We're not all the same. We're all unique that we carry a spirit, that there's a light like this in all of us. And that light, in its most powerful form, comes together as one. We think that we carry it individually, but what we know within our indigenous community is that when you put those lights together, that even our community has a light. We call it a nari. That nari can only exist and brighten if we create a sense of relatedness. How could we have a community if we don't regard each other as relatives? So do we have to take this high road with all of its challenges, create a community unlike the one that we currently live in. So thank you again. Wopila Tanka Hecha. Oh. Thank you, Wanda. appreciate it.
That was Lemoyne Lapointe, facilitator and practitioner of Worldview Intelligence. He is a Sakandu Lakota from the Seven Council Fires of the Western Lakota. He resides in Minneapolis. You also heard from Julie Bang, a native of the Philippines who is employed as a music teacher at Theodore Jamerson Elementary School on the campus of United Tribes Technical College. And Jeffrey Najuro, a new Bismarck resident from the African country of Kenya. This talk was one in a series of community care and respect events sponsored by United Tribes Technical College and the NDSU Extension Service. Learn more at worldviewintelligence.com. This program was produced by United Tribes Technical College, Office of Public Information. Dennis Newman, Director. Alicia Heglin-Thorpe, Producer. This series is designed not only to strengthen our communities, but to give insight and understanding of a tribal culture and a Native people. For more information, visit our website, uttc.edu. Yeah.